Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast that helps you sculpt your dreams into reality. For this episode, you know what day it is. It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Tuesday Taoism. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. This podcast presents a psychotherapist and Zen Buddhist perspective on the mind and how it manifests your moment-to-moment reality. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you master your reality, master your life, through mastery of your mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. Now, on the podcast, we do have a few series. We have our Tuesday Taoism, we have our Zen stream on Sundays, and then I also try to throw in another episode or two throughout the week related to a topic, maybe having something to do with mental health, law of attraction, manifesting, you know, anything and everything that helps you just in your practice living a happier, more peaceful life. And of course, making your dreams a reality. So for today, it is Tuesday, and again, we're doing Tuesday Taoism, like I said in the intro. For this series, I'm reading every week. I read one chapter from the Tao Te Ching. That's the book upon which Taoism is. It was founded, basically. And the chapters are very, very short. Don't worry, I'm not going to bore you for for a long time reading a long chapter. And so I'll read it to you, then discuss it a little bit. Keep in mind, I say this every week, this book is 2,000 to 2,500 years old. It's been translated hundreds, if not thousands, of times, and translations vary a lot. Even within the same language, they vary a great deal. And really, depending on the interpretation, you can get very different meaning out of each chapter. So I am reading, I have been reading since I started this translation by someone named Stephen Mitchell. I really enjoy this translation. I've read quite a few translations. This has always been the one that I come back to. It's my favorite one. So I just, you know, always put that out there just to make you aware. If you pick up another copy by a different author, again, it can read very differently. So let's go ahead. We are up to chapter 55. And let's see what we get out of this today. So this is chapter 55, Tao Te Ching, translated by Stephen Mitchell. He who is in harmony with the Tao is like a newborn child. Its bones are soft, its muscles are weak, but its grip is powerful. It doesn't know about the union of male and female, yet its penis can stand erect, so intense is its vital power. It can scream its head off all day, yet it never becomes hoarse. So complete is its harmony. The great master's power is like this. He lets all things come and go effortlessly without desire. He never expects results. Thus, he is never disappointed. He is never disappointed. Thus, his spirit never grows old. That's the end right there. Sorry, I a couple times where things came out a little bit, again, garbled. But just to read the last few sentences again. He lets all things come and go effortlessly without desire. He never expects results. Thus, he is never disappointed. He is never disappointed. Thus, his spirit never grows old. Now, what we see... Now, before I say that, it's kind of interesting because I went to a different translation that I own, and this one is translated by another gentleman named Ralph Allen Dale, and he, I'm not going to read his whole translation, it is very different, it's a little more, I don't know how to put it, a little more colorful, I guess would be one way to put it. But he mentions this word, he uses the word integrity. In fact, he calls it the great integrity. And I'm pointing this out because I believe that by using integrity as kind of a reference point, we can talk about, it gives us a little bit of a framework that we can look at this chapter and get some very interesting things out of it. So when I think of the word integrity, and I don't remember who told me this, but I thought it was an excellent metaphor. He said, whoever this person was, sorry, I wish I could give him credit, but he said, integrity is sort of like, the way to describe it is imagine yourself on a ship in the middle of the ocean, an old wooden ship, right? We talk about the integrity of a ship means that no matter if the ship is in very good shape, you've done a great job in maintaining it, you know, taking care of anything that's broken on it, making sure that it's all, you know, freshly, I guess, remodeled, you've fixed all repairs, and the hull is like, it has a great integrity. What that tells you is that if rough ocean comes, if life gets rough, right, you follow the metaphor, the integrity of the ship is going to keep you well. It's going to keep you moving forward. So when we bring that idea into this chapter, we again also need to point out, by the way, some paradoxes here, right? Because the Tao Te Ching is full of paradox. And one paradox that we see in this particular chapter is the paradox he brings up this idea of the newborn child. And he says, the bones are soft, the muscles are weak, but its grip is powerful. He goes on to say, so intense is its vital power, it could scream its head off all day, yet it never becomes hoarse. So complete is its harmony. Now, in this chapter, he uses the word harmony, and I think, okay, this is just my personal impression, that harmony is a little bit what, in the other book, he's describing as the great integrity. It's the harmony of the strength and the weakness. That is the thing. And this, of course, ties back to what I've talked about here so many times, and what continues to come up in the Tao Te Ching is this paradoxical union of apparent opposites. And why is this so important? Why is this such a repeating theme? Because one thing that the Tao Te Ching constantly points out to us, at least to me, I hope it does to you as well, as we've gone through each of these chapters, is it continuously points out our habit of duality, how we always split things into opposites, up, down, left, right, good, bad, judgments, judgments, judgments. And this, of course, comes out of that mind, which I've talked a lot about here, a tiny aspect, really, of our whole mind, our whole being, which is the part that judges, that rationalizes, that thinks, that plans, plots, that solves problems. And I hope, I really, really hope that I don't, as I talk about that part of my mind, that part of our mind, that I'm not presenting it only in a negative light, okay? That part of our mind has a function. It's a tool, is what it is. And we use that tool to function, to live, to partake in this society, to communicate with others, to deal with the practical matters of life. That part of our mind has its place, and it's not a bad thing. The issue becomes that we begin to expect more from that part of our mind than it could actually do for us. So we start to use that part of our mind to try to, for lack of a better word, understand the infinite, understand source, understand paradox, because the truth is that is the part of our mind that creates paradox. So when you're using the same part of our mind that creates the problem to solve the problem, you see where I'm going with this. It's like a dog chasing its own tail. You're never going to get there. So, but one thing that I've seen constantly as we read through these chapters in the Tao Te Ching is that it continuously points, very clearly points at our habit of duality, how we continue every single moment as we think to split things into opposites and make judgments. And what the book does is it points to the paradox of union of opposites. And in this case, he's talking specifically about the bones being soft, the muscles being weak, yet the grip is powerful. And you see this also in the metaphor, and this is one, again, I don't know where I heard this one, but you talk, I've heard it said that if you have a tree that is very, very, very brittle and is not flexible and stands very, very stiff, when rough winds come, it's easier to snap the tree. Whereas if you have a tree that can bend and sway in the wind, meaning it's soft, it's pliable, it is harder to break that tree. So again, it's an example in kind of our physical reality that ties back to what is being pointed out here, is the paradox of the soft, the quote-unquote weak actually being strong. And this can get, you could really go further and further with this, right? Because like looking at this therapeutically, right? So many people who I deal with on a daily basis are nervous. Most human beings are afraid about becoming emotionally vulnerable, right? We have that fear, and many of us avoid at all costs becoming emotionally vulnerable. But interestingly, once we're able to trust in the appropriate setting and become emotionally vulnerable, we actually come out of it feeling stronger. So again, we see in all these different aspects of life, something that is being pointed out in this book, which is over 2,000 years old, talking about the exact same thing, this paradox of soft overcoming the hard. Now, we have other things to get to in this chapter, but I just need to pause here for a quick second and then allow a word from a sponsor. I will be right back. All right, everybody, thank you for your patience. We're going to continue here with chapter 55 of the Tao Te Ching. I just want to take a quick moment here, remind you that you could also find me on YouTube. I have the YouTube channel. I haven't uploaded videos for a little while, but you'll find over 200 videos already on there, I believe close to 200, related to, you know, topics that's discussed here on the podcast. Additionally, if you ever want to reach out to me, ask any questions, make any comments, offer any suggestions for future podcast episodes or videos, just find any one of my videos on YouTube, doesn't matter which one, post a comment under it, say, hey, I just heard your podcast, had a question, comment, concern, or suggestion. I get notified right away when I get a comment, and I'll be able to respond. Always happy to engage with you all there in the comment section of any one of the YouTube videos. Aside from that, you can also email me at elucidatetherial@gmail.com. That's elucidatetherial@gmail.com if you have any questions. And finally, you could follow me on Twitter. I do have a Twitter account, and I'm constantly posting things throughout the day, either retweeting some great stuff that I find or putting up my own content up there on Twitter, so you can follow me on Twitter as well. All right, so we're talking about paradox once again as it continues to arise in the Tao Te Ching. And paradox, as I've just been saying, it's important to, I like talking about paradox, coming running into paradox, because what paradox reminds me of, it reminds me of a couple things. First thing it reminds me of is it reminds me of the limitation of my thinking mind. That's very, very important. Because as I was just saying a little bit ago, the thinking mind cannot get you to, cannot understand, okay, or interpret or intellectualize connection to source, okay, or connection to, like the Tao Te Ching says, the mystery, or like Eckhart Tolle says, the unmanifested. That comes from somewhere beyond the thinking mind. And so when we run across paradox, it's almost like you're at the edge of reason. And beyond it is what, right? That's something that I love to explore and something that I love to experience. And we all as human beings, I think at some point or another, have the experience where there's no thinking and we're just fully alive and aware and we're no longer viewing our present reality through the filter of that limited mind. We are actually fully awake, okay? Which, you know, we talk a lot about in Zen. We also refer to it here in the Tao Te Ching. So recognizing paradox and recognizing the union of duality, of opposites and duality, is a big part of you know, what we discuss when we talk about Taoism. And we see it here, as I was saying, in this chapter where he continues to refer to the harmony. He refers to it as the harmony of the soft and the hard. And I mentioned the tree as a metaphor for this. Also, emotional vulnerability is a good metaphor for this. And finally, another common thing referred to in Taoism is water, right? Water is another good example where water is very soft, and it's considered almost insubstantial, right? You can put your hand right through it. But as I'm sure you've heard it said, water has the capability of cutting through stone, right? If it's long enough. You look at something as something I've talked about, but it has been a little while. Something like the Grand Canyon, which is one of the wonders of the world, and it was all carved out by water, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. So again, we have this paradox coming up of the soft overcoming the hard. And that's something that you continue to hear repeated in the Tao Te Ching, and something that continues to be repeated in this particular chapter. And he refers to the union, I believe, here as the harmony. In the other book, he calls it the integrity, the coming together of opposites, also represented through the yin yang symbol, right? You see the coming together of opposites. And when those two opposites come together, what we are experiencing in that moment is the experience of universal consciousness before the thinking mind has come in and split it into parts again, right? And that's something that when it happens, we have to take a moment and just appreciate it, because soon the thinking mind can come back in and start saying, "Wow, that was neat," and then starts to categorize it. It turns it into a memory, compares it to future moments. "Oh, why can't I experience that again?" Right, and all that stuff. So it's important to have those moments as often as possible and appreciate them when they come. Now, interestingly, as we get into the last few lines here, he talks about he lets all things come and go effortlessly without desire. He never expects results, thus he is never disappointed. He is never disappointed, thus his spirit never grows old. Now, what I'm picking up here in these last few lines is obviously the body, our bodies age, right? But where he specifically says here, the spirit never grows old. And I think what he is pointing to here is he starts out in the beginning of the chapter talking about this newborn child, and he describes the newborn child by saying, again, bones are soft, muscles are weak, but the grip is strong. Doesn't know the union between male and female, yet its penis can stand erect. So intense is its vital power. So in the end, when he says the spirit never grows old, we again see the hinting of this paradox between, yes, the body possibly having years, having age, but the spirit being soft, being pliable, being weak, but having a powerful grip, right? And having that vitality, being able to scream its head off all day and never becoming hoarse. It's an example of how that softness, that weakness is where at times our greatest power lies. So obviously, I'm not suggesting here that you should do everything in your power to become soft and weak, and I hope that's not the idea that's coming across. What I am saying, though, is that the pliability, the flexibility, the ability to adapt, and the ability, most importantly, because this also manifests this, I guess what I'm trying to say is the shifting between becoming very rigid and hard, or remaining soft and pliable, that kind of range, you can also see how our own mental formations and concepts follow that as well. So, in other words, you can have beliefs that you hold on to very, very, very strongly, very strong, like belief structures, mental structures, very strong opinions, very strong judgments. And of course, when you have, and I'm sure you've met people who have those kinds of structures in their minds, and they're very, it's difficult for them to see other people's points of view. It may be more difficult for them to experience empathy. It may be more difficult. And so what you see is almost a hardening or a rigidity in thinking. And I believe that one of the best things you can develop as you live is the ability to be flexible in your thinking, right? And I refer to that specifically as cognitive flexibility, right? Cognition is just another word for thought. So being able to be flexible in your thinking is something that I believe personally keeps you young, right? And it keeps you open-minded, and it keeps you more aware and more open to new information. Because one of the, I know that Zen Master Sung Sung and others have alluded to it as well. They say that the Zen mind is the don't know mind, which basically implies that there's no rigidity in the thinking. I think two of the most poisonous words that we have in our language is I know. Oh, I know that already. What that basically means is I'm shut down to whatever it is that you're offering right now. I already know it. So it's just something to think about. It's a very, very interesting chapter, and I like how he continues to play, as we've seen in many other chapters, between these opposites of the softness, the weakness, yet the strength, the vitality. You see that interplay between those two opposites and how they come together to form what he calls the harmony, or in the other book, the integrity. And as you have that, and you have it well, then as the winds of life come, the rough waters come, you are able to maintain and move forward because you have strong harmony, strong integrity. And as he says toward the end of the chapter, you'll never be disappointed, and the spirit thus never grows old. Very, very nice. Very, very good. I hope that you enjoyed it and you got something out of it that will help you in your practice for the day. Stay tuned. I'll be back again in a few days with another episode, and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the day.